We find, when we come to the Bible, in the life of Saul, that after he was converted, we notice this about him. Immediately, he went out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 20, it tells us, and straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he's the Son of God. And I see this man, his whole life, his whole heart has been changed by the power of the cross. He has found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now he's out immediately, and he's telling other people about the Lord Jesus. And we find when we follow this man in the book of Acts, he proclaimed the gospel near and far. Most biblical scholars agree that Paul would have travelled over or around 10,000 miles by foot. And there was no fancy motor vehicles, no fancy ships, no fancy airplanes in those days. But he set out on foot and he walked for miles after miles after miles to carry this message out to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he proclaimed the gospel near and far. And he travelled and preached through thick and thin. It was not always easy for this man to proclaim the gospel. He gives an account over in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 24. How five times he tells us the Jews that he had received 40 stripes save one. Could you picture this man being whipped? Nearly 40 strokes of the whip. Five times. He talks in that passage about beaten with rods. Talked about being stoned. Talked about shipwrecked. He talked about being in perils of waters and robbers and countrymen and heathen. Here his whole life was in danger. Yet he marched on. He marched on with this message to bring the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And one of the places he came to was the city of Ephesus. And you can read all about that in the book of Acts, coming into that city, proclaiming to the gospel to people who were idolaters. People were saved and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of the church being formed, he left young Timothy to look after the church. And here he is in this epistle then, writing to Timothy, giving him advice, giving him, this young man, instruction, how to run the church, how to do certain things among the congregation. And when he's given Timothy all this instruction, he tells about his conversion. He tells him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he never tired of this message. He never tired of telling the story, the old, old story of the cross, the old story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I thought tonight about what we could say in Mark until this text is laid upon my heart by God about Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. And I want to think, first of all, he speaks about the moment of his coming. And listen to the words of the Apostle Paul here. He says that Christ Jesus came into the world. And he's saying here to young Timothy, here is something that has happened. Here is something that has happened in this world. The Son of God has come into this world. Here's a moment then that is past. You only had to read the Gospels. And you can see that Paul was speaking here of a moment that had passed, that had taken place, and the Son of God had left heaven and he had come down into this world. You can read all about it in the Bible. It records the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, born to the Virgin Mary. Remember the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, Thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Mary, there's going to be a miraculous birth. Something miraculous is going to happen in your womb. The child will be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. You see, Paul speaks about Christ coming into the world. He has come, he said. But here's how he came. A miracle took place in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was born in Bethlehem, of course. Oh, how miraculous was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what it was, friends? It was God becoming man. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, he's the Savior of the world. He's the creator of the world. Yet the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh. In 1 Timothy 1 or 3 verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Can we take it in? Can we understand it? Can we explain it? The God, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Then the Bible said, he was manifested in the flesh. God took upon him the form of human flesh, yet without sin. And that's why the angels were singing. That's why they sang in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Something miraculous had happened in Bethlehem and the angels were singing. And friends, what had happened was this. Christ Jesus had come into the world. And this is something that a moment in the past. Of course, we think of the year 2021. Why is it 2021? It brings us back to this miraculous moment we're speaking about. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, leaving heaven and coming down into this world. And so it's a moment that was past. It's a moment that had been prophesied. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke about this. They told of this day when the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, he would come into this world. And they told it time and time again. For instance, in one reference, in Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And here's the prophet Isaiah, many hundred years before this. And he says the words, behold, look at this. A child is going to be born, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And so, friends, they were told about this. They were expecting this. Because when the wise men came to Herod over in Matthew's Gospel and told them that a king had been born, Herod was full of fear. He wanted to know where this would happen. And he gathered together the chief priests and the scribes and the people together. And he demanded of them, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet. And they said, listen, we'll tell you where it is. This is to happen in Bethlehem. You see, dear friends, they knew that Christ was going to come. It didn't come unexpectedly. God had told them that the Lord Jesus would come into this world. And so it was a moment that had been prophesied, a moment that had been promised, he shall come. And I tell you here to the apostle, that Peter, or Paul was preaching. He was preaching, my friends, with power. He was bringing a tremendous lesson here to young Timothy. He was saying to Timothy, Christ Jesus has come into this world, the moment of his coming. And we say it tonight in Markie Till, God who created the world, Jesus Christ who is God, he is Lord, he is King, he has visited this world. He has come into this world as a man. This is the teaching of the word of the living God. And there may be people who says, I don't believe it. Well, dear friends, I said to you, that is so wrong. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in to the world. So he talked about the moment of his coming, a moment that's in the past, a moment that has been prophesied, a moment that had been promised, and he fulfilled the promise. And then he talked about the motive of his coming into the world. You can see here in the text that we're left in no doubt why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And he tells us plainly, he wanted everybody to hear why the Lord Jesus Christ had come into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is why he left heaven. He came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to teach us how to be good. Well, we can learn that from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to teach us how to pray. No, we can learn this from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. This is his mission. This is why he came into the world. We see him by faith leaving the courts of glory, the home of glory, and to say to Christ, where are you going? Why are you going to the earth? Well, the answer will come back very simply, to save sinners. He came into the world to save corrupted sinners. Because, dear friends, when you look at the human race, when you look at mankind, the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Do you know what it says in Psalm 14 and verse 2? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. Notice the words. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. And we read here in the Word of God. Listen, it's describing all of us. It's describing everybody in the world. They've all gone aside. They have become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. All are corrupted sinners in God's sight. And all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And dear friends, corrupted sinners. Corrupted sinners. He talked about them. There in verse 10, whoremongers that defile themselves with mankind and men stealers and so on. Listen, my dear friends, he came into the world to save corrupted sinners. And that's you and I. We're no different than the people we read about in the Bible. At least some of us probably has been worse. We have taken the life that God has given us. And the Word of God says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Some went this way and that way. But we went the wrong way. And that's true of everybody. Everybody in this town. Everybody who hears the open air preaching tonight. You have sinned against God. You have broken his law in 100 pieces. Look at your actions, your words, your thoughts. Dear friends, you're sinful and wicked. The Lord Jesus came to save guilty, corrupted sinners. And that's the good news of the gospel. This is his mission, to save the likes of us. Can we understand it? Can we believe it? Can we take it in? He came to save, his mission, condemned sinners. Because seeing a man as a sinner and lost without Christ, the Word of God is very plain. He's condemned. He's condemned to death. Oh, dear friends, it's worse than that. He's condemned to hell. And I want you to see that tonight. The wages of sin is death, eternal death. You read the Word of God, go through the pages, listen to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he talks about heaven. He talks about the Father's house. But oh, in many occasions, he spoke about hell. He spoke about the fire that never will be quenched. He talked about eternal damnation. Well, dear friends, that's the teaching of the Bible. Sin brings forth death. I said tonight to you, sin brings forth damnation. Sinners are condemned. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 3, children of wrath, by nature children of wrath, even as others. And that's true of all people. No matter where they're from in the world, no matter about their background, lost and condemned and on our way to hell. But here's the great mission of Jesus Christ. He came to rescue us. He came to save us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is his mission. We've come to preach in Market Hill for a few nights here in our drive-in meetings about Jesus Christ the Savior coming into this world to save the likes of you and I, corrupted, condemned sinners. And yet he's come to do this. This is his mission. Dear friends, this is his mercy. Think of it. To save us. To save sinners who hate him. Who don't like Christ, naturally. To save sinners who reject his words. To save those who have said in their heart, we will not have this man to reign over in us. Who despise him, who reject him, who hate him. He came into the world to save sinners. Dear friends, that's his mercy. That's his mercy. There's not one person listening to my voice tonight here in our drive-in meeting deserves God's mercy, and that includes the preacher. Not one of us. His mercy is God's undeserved favor. Remember, it says in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. And listen, plenteous in mercy. Oh, there's mercy with the Lord, friends. There's mercy. This is his mercy. You know, if had said he'd pour out his wrath upon the whole world, which one day he will do. We deserve it all. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save it. Here's his mercy. Here's his mercy and his saves to save us. Think about his misery. Dear friends, to save us, I want to say tonight in the open air, we have the misery, the sufferings of the blessed Son of God. To save you and I, the Lord Jesus didn't save himself. And when I read the Bible, we see him living that perfect, complete life. That life that fulfilled righteousness. We see him being arrested and taken to the cross. And being nailed to the middle tree, and he's dying for our sins. The Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's offering his soul, his body, a sacrifice for our sins. He's burning shame and scoffing rude, and in my place, condemned he stood. Well, friends, the Word of God brings us to Calvary. It brings us to the cross. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. The Word of God says, according to the Scriptures, Paul said in Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, notice the words, Christ died for the ungodly. Here we have the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In love and mercy, came into the world to save us. And to save us, he had to pay the price for our sin, not for his sin. He did no sin. And he knew no sin. And yet, dear friends, he died for our sins. See, this is all in the mission. This is all in the reason he came down from heaven into this world. Did he not say himself that I lay down my life for the sheep? Oh, dear friends, we think of Christ. We think of the blood, the shedding of his blood to save us. God sent him into the world to shed his blood in order to save us. And this is the mission of the Lord Jesus. It's not an easy task. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, dear friends, forsaken, dying, in great agony and pain to save us. I want you to think tonight of Calvary. The cross of Jesus Christ. He died to save us. He is the Savior of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he died upon the cross, friends. Oh, you see his misery in this mission. Do you not see his might in this mission? He came into the world to save sinners. No one else can save us. No one else can save us. Why is this? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save us. He came with authority. The word Christ means anointed, and the words Jesus means Savior. He comes with the Father's authority to save us. He's the only Savior, and there's no other Savior. He is the one God the Father anointed and sent into this world to be our Savior. Dear friends, He had to come from heaven to save us. He could not save us until He left heaven and died upon the cross. He comes to the very dunghill to save us. This is the good news of the gospel. There's one who's mighty. There's one who's able to save. He's mighty to save. He can save the very uttermost. And this is the mission given to Jesus Christ to save us. And you think of the Apostle Paul. He talked about himself and he talked about his life. A faithful saying, a worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And notice what he says, to whom I am chief. I am chief, he says, in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor, an injurious, he said, but I obtained mercy. And he said, he has saved me. He has saved the chief of sinners. And dear friends, that's good news. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ can save the chief of sinners, which was the Apostle Paul, he can save you. He can save the worst. And there may be people tonight down in the very gutter of sin and far away from God, and you feel helpless tonight, and you feel hopeless within your soul and within your heart. Here's good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He can save you. This is the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. All of these points, all of these thoughts are brought before us here. His mercy, His mission, His misery, and the might of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm glad tonight I can tell you of a Savior who's mighty, who's able to save you, to take away your sin, and to bring you back to God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. And that's what we've come to proclaim over these few nights of our meeting here in Market Hill. And you have here the motive of His coming into the world. Friends, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever considered your sin? Have you ever considered your soul? Have you ever considered the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and bleeding and dying upon the cross to save us and to take away our sin and bring us home to heaven? Oh, dear friends, here is a motive of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're left in no doubt why He came. He came to save sinners. And that's a tremendous truth tonight I want to proclaim in your ears in this meeting tonight. And I want to say lastly and quickly about the message of His coming. And He did say this, the two things He said about it in our text. First of all, it's a message that is true. Now, where do we get that? Well, look how we started this text. This is a faithful saying. And the word faithful, it means believe or true or sure. So here is something that's true. The message is true. It's something we can trust. Remember, the Lord Jesus said the words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, He's the only way to God. And He said in the middle of that, I am the truth. Oh, dear friends, here's a message that is true. This is a true message for all the world. And I want to say this tonight. It's the only true message. All other religions in the world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is false. Don't care if there's multitudes following tonight the religion of Islam. It's false. Mormonism, otherisms, they're false. They're all lies. And if you have never heard them, you can go YouTube with technology today. You can hear them debating, arguing, fighting, twisting. Some Muslims know what they're preaching, that Jesus never died on the cross. He's not the Son of God. Dear friends, that message is lies. You can hear the devil in the voice of those who preach it. But here's a message that's true. It's a faithful saying. It's true. So you're looking for the truth tonight. Are there people tonight listening saying, I'm searching for the truth. I'm searching for the way to God. I want to know how I can be saved. How I can get everlasting life. Here's a faithful saying. Here's a message from God. It's the truth. Dear friends, he's a God of truth. I say to you tonight, it's a message that's true. It's a message also to be trusted. Because he says, worthy of all acceptation. And the word acceptation means acceptance. It means acceptance. And what's he saying? You are to accept this truth by faith. You are to repent from your sin and trust Christ. In verse 16, he says, to believe on him to life everlasting. Oh, the person who saved, what do? They repent from their sin. They turn from it. They come to Jesus Christ. They says, Lord, you came to save me. I'm lost. I'm lost in my sin. I want you to save me. I want you to take away my sin. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And dear friends, he saves you. He saves you. He gives you everlasting life. This is a message that are to trust. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I say again, and I'm not repeating myself, it's the only message. There's no other hope, friends. There's no other hope for you but Jesus Christ. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It tells us about Hugh Latimer. He was a great reformer. He was born in 1485. Like all around him, he was brought up in the darkness of Romanism and popery. He ended up a priest in the Church of Rome. One day, a young man called Thomas Bidley had got saved. Thomas Bidley had come across the Word of God, and he came across this text we're looking at tonight in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The Lord opened the eyes of that young man, and he was gloriously saved. It's recorded that one day he heard Hugh Latimer preached, and he asked for the soul of that man, that God would save him. And God answered his prayer. One time after listening to Hugh Latimer preach, he asked, could he make a confession to them? And Hugh Latimer took him into a room. And young Thomas Bidley got down before him. But Hugh Latimer was not expecting to hear the words that he heard. Instead of hearing a confession of sin, young Thomas told him about his search to find peace with God. He told him about the disappointments he had found in religion. He told him about the Bible he had possessed. He tells him about this text. Latimer was shaken. He did not expect to hear this. Young Thomas showed him this text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It hit the very heart of Hugh Latimer. He himself had been searching. He himself had been troubled. He himself had been looking for peace with God. And this text, one text of God's word, was brought before him. And dear friends, Hugh Latimer was saved. You see, he accepted the message. And he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying, a worth of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he became a great reformer and a great preacher of the gospel, Hugh Latimer, and he was burnt at the stake for his faith on the 16th of October, 1555. Friends, I want to say in closing, what's the difference? There's those who accept the message. There's those who reject it. Have you accepted it? I ask you another question in closing. Has the Lord Jesus saved you? He came into the world to save sinners. And it's only those he saved will be in heaven. No one else. No one else. Doesn't matter what they possess. What they profess to be other. No one else will be in heaven. Except those he saved. So I want you to look at your heart tonight before you turn to go home. Are you saved? Has the Lord Jesus saved you? I'm not asking you hope you're saved. That's not the question. You see, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than snow. And prayers he can save you tonight. So repent and believe the gospel. We're here to help people. So stay behind. There's plenty of room in the church. The social distance. You can come into the church from your motor vehicle. And we can talk the matter of, don't go home without Christ. Don't let him pass you by. Jesus Christ is passing by at this short gospel meetings here each night. Turn and believe this very hour. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And friends, he will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. Oh, this is the message we've come to proclaim. Here's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I hope tonight that you'll be saved. And I hope you will come and trust him. Just like Hugh Latimer, Thomas Bidley, all others who's listening tonight in their motor vehicles, that you will come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray God to bless his word through all of our hearts for his name's sake.